This is Lee Chambers.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Robbie Williams, Party Like a Russian. You've got to give it to the guy or whoever wrote that song, rhyming concussion with Russian and getting the word oligarch in a song. Hats off. The reason we're playing that is because I chatted last week to Milo Edwards. He's at the ADC tomorrow evening with his stand-up show, Pindos, An Adventure in Modern Russia. And last week I met him at the ADC Theatre to chat about it. So, Pindos, An Adventure in Modern Russia. What does Pindos mean?
Pindos is this Russian slang term that means the American. And why people used to call me the American is sort of something that we get down to the bottom of roughly in the show. Basically, it comes down to the fact that you find that in Russia, sort of, Westerners all look the same to them. If you're from west of Poland, you're basically the American. That's how it works.
And what is the show about?
So the show is about how, after I graduated from Cambridge, I went to Russia for 3 years. I was initially going to go for just like a gap year because I wanted to improve my Russian, and I sort of accidentally became a Russian TV personality.
Accidentally became a Russian TV personality. How did that happen? Without giving too much away.
I was in the footlights when I was at Cambridge and I did a lot of comedy, and I wanted to do comedy as a career after that, but that wasn't what I was planning to do in Russia. But I got involved with these guys doing English stand-up in Russia purely as like a little sideline. And then some TV producers came down and saw me and they said, can you do stand-up in Russian? And I said, well, I can have a go. And they sort of invited me to take part in this show, and it sort of all spiraled from there, really.
And so the show's about that and about your time in Russia. How long were you there for?
Yeah, I was there for almost 3 years, about sort of 2 years and 9 months, something like that, which in the end I felt was too long.
It seems a timely show, this. Russia very much on the political stage, I suppose. It's never really gone away, post-Brexit, etc.
Those are all things that I talk about quite a lot in the show, because it's interesting how living there, the political situation and stuff was very different from how you might perceive it. And the way in which, like, the big events that people were aware of Russia in the UK, like Skripal and so on, played extremely differently in Russia, and also how, for example, like Brexit played over there, because I was there when the Brexit vote happened and so on. And so that's kind of something I try and weave through the show as well, the sort of political stuff.
Is it funny? Stand-up comedy, we think, obviously it's going to be funny, but yeah. A show about Russia, as you say, it's a repressive regime, lots of political points.
Yeah, well, I hope it's funny. That's the plan. I suppose that's for your listeners to decide if they come to the show. Yeah, no, I mean, Russia's an extremely funny place. I think you could almost live a full lifetime in Russia in a week, like the kind of stuff that you can see on a daily basis. There is some political stuff in the show, but also a lot of it is about the day-to-day life in Russia and like the things I would encounter as a touring comedian. Insane things that happened to me, of which there were a huge amount. I've been like really aggressively cutting the show down, actually, because there were sort of too many stories in it and it was too long. So I've been trying to like work out what the best stories actually are and get it down to an hour, which is, it's almost at an hour now, so that's good.
Well, tell us one of the stories that didn't make it then.
Oh, so there's a story at the moment that's not... Well, this might end up in the show, but it's not in the show at the moment. But it's one that always shocks people. Was this one time someone pointed a gun at me. It didn't scare me because it's very weird when you've not been in that situation, you don't really know how it's going to go. But I was so sure that he wasn't going to shoot anyone. It was just kind of like a bit of a non-event. But what happened was I'd got back from Spain and I was going to meet a friend of mine, and I'd left my phone in Spain, and I had to go meet my friend because he had my keys, and he was at some rave in the middle of nowhere. And so I get in a taxi from the airport, but I've got all my suitcase and stuff with me. So we get there and he's like, well, let's hang out for a bit. And he's like, oh, I know this guy who's running it and he's got a car, so you can just leave your suitcase in the boot. So we go up to this guy, he's like, yeah, you can leave your suitcase in my car, it's fine. It's like battered old larder from the 80s. So I throw my suitcase in there. And then sort of hours later, we're going to leave, and I go and find this guy again. And he's like, oh, I don't have the keys. There's a guy in the passenger seat, and he has the keys. So I go up to the passenger window, and this guy's asleep. So I like knock on the window, he like opens his eyes, and I like make eye contact with him, and I like kind of smile and wave, and I like open the door, and he just turns around and sticks his gun in my face. And I think exactly what I said to him was, oh, that's not necessary. And he's like,
very British.
Yeah. And then he said, why are you trying to rob me? And I was like, if I was trying to rob you, why would I have woken you up? And he was like, good point. And then he let me get my bag.
What were your main impressions then of Russia during that time? I mean, I know it's hard to summarise years, but do you have three or four main impressions of the place?
It's like a really fascinating place. I encourage people to go there because in some ways it's very European, but in a lot of ways it's also so incredibly different from what Britain is like or what Western Europe is like. And there's really interesting people there. Like, they've got a very kind of like hospitable culture and stuff. Like, Moscow is definitely a real world city to see. It's kind of, for the whole of the former Soviet Union, Moscow is kind of like the capital city. If you're from like Kazakhstan or wherever, like, Moscow is like London or New York to you. That's the place they all go to, like, achieve something or whatever. It's kind of a centre of a different world. And obviously the political situation there is really dire, and that also affects what's going on there. But in some ways, it's also impressive the extent to which that doesn't figure a huge amount in your daily life. Russians are very good at just sort of carrying on as normal, and they're very used to the concept of, like, the political situation being insane. So it's kind of like, oh, it's Russia, what are you going to do? That's kind of their attitude to most things. Definitely a country that sticks in my mind.
And you're a stand-up comedian there. Is the sense of humour different or the same?
The sense of humour, I would say, is actually quite similar, in that Russians quite like sort of quite dry kind of stuff. But the stand-up scene is very different because it's much newer, it's much less developed, and so they're kind of like going through all the stages of the development of stand-up at pace, because they kind of started out somewhere in the 70s about 5 years ago, and they're probably somewhere approaching the 80s now. But the thing is that they've also got all these comedians who will like watch foreign stand-up that's like years ahead of what's going on there, and so you get these like weird syntheses where stand-ups will be doing like topics that to us would feel like very 1970s, but they're doing it in a like avant-garde kind of way because they've been watching like Louis C.K. or whoever, and then so you get these like weird kind of crossovers. And that can mean that the audiences are a bit less comedy savvy, but to be honest, you can get non-comedy savvy audiences in Britain as well, so that just sort of take your chances there, really. But yeah, no, definitely like the sense of humour I found not to be too big of a barrier.
And a stand-up comedian, is that what you are now? Is that your full-time job?
Basically, yeah. It's a very poorly paid full-time job. If you're looking for financial security, I wouldn't recommend it. But yeah, I do stand-up comedy, and I have a podcast called Trash Future, which we make some money out of somehow. Some people seem to like it. It's utter nonsense, but there we go. And I do a podcast in Russian as well. And we have a little podcast studio where we produce some other people's podcasts. It's basically, yeah, stand-up and podcasting is what I do these days.
And what do you like about being a stand-up comedian? I mean, for a lot of people, it would petrify the life out of them.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it certainly petrified the life out of me when I started doing it. And then now what petrifies the life out of me is all of the other things that surround it, but actually doing it is fine. I love performing, and when it goes well, it's probably one of the art forms where you get the best connection with an audience, because it's such like an immediate feedback loop. Like you say something and then people laugh or they don't. You don't really get that with almost anything else. But on the other hand, that can also make it one of the most nightmarish things if it goes badly. But usually by the time you've gotten to a professional level, it doesn't go badly that often, so it's not too bad. You know, you can sort of damage control even the most difficult of rooms. Most of the difficulties come in really in like the logistics. I'm doing a show in Ljubljana this weekend, so that'll be before this interview goes out, and they just emailed me to tell me they've sold 2 tickets. They were confident they were going to sell hundreds of tickets. It's this comedy club in Ljubljana, they're quite established, and they're like, what do you want to do? So I'm now trying to desperately promote a show in Ljubljana where I know no one. So those are the kind of stresses of the job.
What has been the reaction to this show generally?
People seem to like it. Yeah, I've not I've not performed this full show that many times. I've done it twice in London, and I did it twice in Brighton last weekend, but it went really well. And then I'll be doing it in Slovenia and Croatia this weekend, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, by and large, I think people have been like quite fascinated by Russia as a topic. Every single time I've performed it, I've had Russians in the audience, which has been interesting, because it turns out the Russians are absolutely everywhere. So if I post about it on Instagram, I usually get a few like fans who'll come down from somewhere. I'm really happy with it. I think it's an interesting show, and I'm just trying to get it. I feel like writing a show in lots of ways, especially for Edinburgh, is a bit like there was some famous sculptor who said that the statue is already in the block of stone, and you've just got to remove all the bits that aren't the statue. And it feels a bit like that. I've kind of got too much show at the moment, and I'm slowly paring it down. Like, it was like an hour and 20 minutes, and now it's like an hour and 5 minutes, and I'm trying to work out, get rid of the final bits of the block of stone so that it makes sense as a statue.
And when did you decide to write it? Did you write it when you were in Russia, or did you write it when you came home?
As an actual show, I've been writing it since, I guess, kind of January, December, something like that. But the material itself, a lot of it is material that I wrote while I was in Russia, because it's sort of anecdotes and things, some of which I told on Russian TV and I've translated. In some ways, it's a bit cheating because I'm doing a show that's autobiographical about 3 years of my life, which kind of means that most of the material I wrote during that 3 years makes sense for the storyline, because most of my material was about things that happened to me. So I already had a bit of a bank of things to draw from. But in terms of actually putting the show together, it's been about, I guess, 5 or 6 months.
And you're back here at the ADC Theatre. You're a member of the Cambridge Footlights. How does it feel to be back?
It's very interesting, actually. I was just saying on our way in here, I've not been back to the ADC since 2015, when I did another hour show here previously under very different circumstances. It's really interesting. Like, I've just been wandering around Cambridge today and sort of very, like, I don't know, almost emotional, really. I really love Cambridge. I went to school here as well. I'd spent a lot of my life here. And it's weird how much it's changed. I went into my college and I spoke to a couple of the porters I still knew, and I was giving out some flyers and things for the show, I discovered that they moved the JCR, and that was like weirdly disorientating. I'd gone into the, I was like, no, you don't get to change it, it's been here for 800 years, this is no more changes please. But yeah, it's fun. I always love doing comedy at the ADC, so I'm excited about it, especially if I can sell some more tickets. The more people the better.
And what's your ultimate ambition, Milo? You know, if I could say to you where you see yourself in maybe 5-10 years time.
Hopefully, like, satisfied. That's kind of what I think. A lot of my life I've been perennially dissatisfied. So I think plan is I would like to, I guess, get onto a Western TV with my stand-up. So either here or in the US. I'm really excited about the way the podcast is going. That's hopefully going to keep growing, and that should be another whole, like, stream of things. At the moment, really immediately, what I'm interested in is this show doing well at the Edinburgh Fringe. There's two kinds of comedian, I think, that work in the UK. You've got kind of, like, Edinburgh comedians, and you have, like, club comedians. And I've discovered that I'm definitely not a club comedian, so Edinburgh is the place for me to do a show and kind of generate a bit of interest in what I do and build a following. So that's the plan.
And who are your favourite comedians? Who are you going to go and see if they're there in Edinburgh?
A lot of my favourite comedians are like comedians that I work with and like I was in the Footlights with and stuff like that, because I think, I don't know if this is just me, but I find that the comedians that you work with are both the people you see more of what they do, and also you're kind of the people who are, I guess, at the sort of like the coal face of what's new, and then that will be what's standard in like 5 years or whatever. And so guys like Ahir Shah, who got nominated for the Edinburgh Comedy Award the last 2 years, he was a couple of years older than me in the Footlights, he's great. Pierre Novelli is also in the Footlights, he's a fantastic guy. And then of like properly famous comedians, I guess people like Stuart Lee is probably a huge person for me most of all.
And Milo Edwards' show Pindos, An Adventure in Modern Russian, is on at the ADC Theatre tomorrow night. If you want to book tickets, the website is adctheatre.com.